Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Now, does our friend on the other side of the glass have
questions? Brendan and I have been doing a thing the last few weeks where he's asking some great Bible questions. Mm-hmm. Since you're also somebody that has a Bible show on the air, I thought he could ask some questions to both of us. Since you're the guest, I'll give you first crack at the answer. And then people can hear the real answer from me when you're done.
Is this like a presidential debate?
That's right.
Oh, I hope not. Okay.
All right. So I have a question based on two excerpts from the Bible. The first is from Romans chapter 8, 29 through 30, verses 29 through 30. It states, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be confirmed or conformed, to the image of his son, and that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified."
Okay.
The second passage is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. That one says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." My question is, if God's election is sure, then why do we need to make it sure? And where is our insurance in salvation?
All right. I'll take a crack at it. The first thing is, on passages like this, and really throughout the Bible, it's very important to understand the intent of the writer and what that word was intended to mean, what it meant 2,000 years ago, as opposed to how the modern-day language interprets it. So, let's take on the word predestined. I flew out here a week ago from Baltimore, BWI, Baltimore Washington International Airport, and I had a destination, I had a ticket, I had a boarding pass, and it was pre-planned that I would come to San Diego. Now, if you've flown, especially in the last 2 years in the COVID era, I wonder if we're going to have calendars that are going to be pre-COVID and post-COVID.
Anyway. Well, that's the joke now. It's no longer BC, meaning before Christ. It's before COVID.
Before COVID.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about last time with marriages.
It was exactly. We talked about that just last week.
Yeah. So I have had flights. I had one flight trying to get here to San Diego. I got canceled three times and kept coming back and then got rerouted and then got delayed. And it took me forever, but I was predestined to come to San Diego. I had a destination that was preset, but there were interruptions. They were due to circumstances beyond our control. There were things that happened. Predestination in this context, first off, he's talking about that we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what our predestination is, okay?
Correct.
But it doesn't mean that every single element of the timeline is set and cannot be deviated from. If that were true, then God would be limited to that predestination. He would be small if he couldn't change his mind, if he couldn't say, you know what, we're going to take a detour here. Look at the Bible. I have over 100 examples in the scripture where God changed the plan. I'll give you a couple of instances. He told Moses, step aside, I'm going to wipe these people out. And Moses interceded and God stayed his hand of judgment. Jonah, the book of Jonah, he didn't say, tell them to repent. He said, tell them destruction's coming. And they repented, and he changed. It says God relented. God is big enough that he can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign. And if he wound up this little clock that he could no longer control, he wouldn't be God. So that's my take on the predestination thing. But it doesn't mean what the Calvinistic interpretation has called it to be and taught most people what it is. Firstborn, that's a great one. Because people go, well, one particular movement says, well, see, he was created. Jesus was the firstborn, so he was created. No, he was the firstborn from the dead. You have to read the rest of the book.
Yeah, they're referring to his resurrection.
Yeah, he was firstborn from the dead.
He existed already as God, but as a human being, that was a birth.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he was resurrected, which means now we can be resurrected. So he was firstborn, we follow. What else do we have here? Oh, boy, election. Election, is it an election year?
It is an election year. Boy, that last 2020 election was sure predestined.
That's right?
Well, there was some hanky-panky going
Biden
on there.
Biden was predestined to win that before anybody even went to the poll. Anyway, that's another story.
We are the elect in that we have been adopted into his family, but there is the free will factor. And those who have chosen to accept God's provision through his vicarious atonement of his son, Jesus, who was his virgin birth, sinless life, resurrection, and ascension, and we put our faith in that, we become part of the elect. But it is not that God says some are going to get saved and some are going to go to hell. If that were true, why do we have evangelism? Why do we bother praying? Why do we send out missionaries? It doesn't make any sense. Why did Paul spend so much of his time writing, telling people to not sin?
Why did Jesus stand over Jerusalem and weep because they weren't going to accept him? And then he turns around and says, but it's my will that you don't accept me because you don't have any free will and you were predestined. Yeah. It just doesn't wash.
It doesn't. And we've talked about that on other shows. So the words get us confused because we have this 21st century Calvinistic understanding of what those words mean. And as you know, I'm not much of a Calvinist. If you take the five classic points of Calvinism, I'm 180 from all of them, which is the tulip thing, you know, the Calvin tulip. Anyway, so does that help a little? Do you want to jump in on some of this?
I'll throw in my two cents. Getting back to what Jim's saying, we can see certain words in the Bible that certain theologies use. That doesn't mean they're using them properly.
Right.
The word predestination is in the Bible. The word election is in the Bible. The Bible does not mean what the Calvinists claim. You look at Romans 8 and Romans 9, and it says those whom God foreknew, he predestined. So he knows ahead of time what decision we're going to make, and what he predestines is for us to become like Jesus. He's not predestining that we're going to get saved in the first place, because that's a decision that we make. Let Brendan go ahead and respond.
I was also going to say, it sounds like also we talked about James chapter 2, verse 19, about even the demons believe and they shudder.
Yeah,
and
right.
You were mentioning how that's
the Greek word term. Believe means different things depending on the context.
Correct. So it sounds like a very similar characteristic.
Exactly.
There is so much of that in our modern Bible language. And so next to my Bible, I've always got my Strong's Concordance and a lexicon. And I'm looking because sometimes there's a little bit more of a depth or a little light that is shined if you look on the original intent. And on that thing, that was the other word, foreknowledge. The word is prognosco, which is where we get prognosis, where a doctor says, this is what I think is going to happen, or the weatherman says, this is what the weather is going to be. So foreknowledge isn't even an absolute fixity. It's the things that God projects and says, this is what's going to happen. But sometimes it doesn't happen.
And God is removed from time. If God knows somebody is going to choose to become a Christian, he plans a Christian life for them, Romans 8.
Yeah.
Romans 9, Paul says, on the other hand, if God knows somebody is not going to become a Christian, he plans a way to use them for some other purpose despite themselves. And so there is something that's being predestined, but it's not at the level of our will. It's at the level of God knowing ahead of time what we were going to do. And he's such a master chess player that if I was going to be playing with a genius Russian brilliant chess player, it's predestined that I'm going to lose that game. But
you're
I
no
can
match.
Still make a move on the board. I may even That's make right. a move that he wishes I hadn't moved, but he will take that move and make it a part of his own master plan.
I just want to say, I love how this correlates to all the other questions you answered a couple weeks ago as well. So in terms of like how I asked you, well, why does God still make non-believers if that's the case? And again, this question correlates with that one too.
Can I throw one more in? Do we have a minute?
We have about 30 seconds, but go for it. Half of it.
There's an Old Testament thing that says the days of your life were written in, I have your book was written and all of that. Do you know now we understand DNA and your DNA, an unborn child's DNA already has the information about what diseases they're susceptible to.
Exactly.
All of that stuff. So he wrote a book and it's called DNA. That's what that's about. Okay.
Right. And I would also say being removed from time and seeing everything is part of that book as well. All right. As usual, Brendan, great questions. As usual, Jim, great having you on the show.
Loved it.
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We will see you all next time.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.